Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. member FDIC.
We all have that friend who wakes up early to go get everyone McDonald's breakfast while the rest of us sleep in. This is your sign to thank them. And if you're that friend, this is us saying thank you.
Just a friendly reminder that right now, get any size iced coffee before 11 a.m. for just 99 cents. And a satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg is just $2.79. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Mappy Davis, where we interview the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and anyone else I find interesting. It's a gorgeous Wednesday morning. I'm at home, I'm drinking the home brew, and I am enjoying it. Quick shout out to this week's sponsor, RCR Video. We recorded today's podcast at RCR Video. That is where I'm recording all of them these days. Randall and his team are awesome. They make compelling content for you to tell the story of your company or movie or commercial or whatever the heck it is that you do. He's amazing. I like the guy a heck of a lot. That's RCR Video, where we're recording all our episodes these days. And today was great. Today's show is great. We recorded yesterday because we were able to record the interview and then go into a little tiny room and do some music. So it sounds great, and I'm so happy to have his help. Go hook up with Randall over at RCR Video. As I mentioned, I recorded this yesterday, and as I've told you in the past, we have a lot of good stuff in the can, and this usually prevents me from putting an episode up right after I record it because I'm like, oh, what about that other one? But you know what? Screw it. This was a great chat, and I want to bring it to you. So I think I'm not going to say much more. This is Pip. You're going to enjoy her, I think, a lot. And away we go.
So I have to ask you this. How does anyone get to look that fabulous this early in the morning?
I just took a shower and put on makeup. You could do it too.
Come on, though. There's an ensemble happening here.
No, I mean, I have a lot of, I've got a lot of outfits for shows. So figured might as well use them for something like
this.
But
is this like how you go to CBS, or you just, because this is an interview and it's press related?
It's because it's an interview, okay. And it makes me feel a little bit more like
a rock star.
Yeah, I feel more in character. But some days I look like garbage, and then.
But there's so much to talk about here, and
Can I take a sip of this?
Go ahead, okay. Go for it.
She's sorry, fueling up.
She's fueling up. She's drinking coffee.
Oh, it's hot. Okay, I'm ready.
She was late, yep. And I got to call her a typical musician, and the emoji for musician on the iPhone is what?
It's totally David Bowie.
It's totally David Bowie. Totally. Do you think his estate gets any of those rights?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is there like a fair use Bowie emoji?
I don't know. I mean, because they also have the female Bowie.
Right,
but
of course.
I guess he's very androgynous.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm not one, because I'm, you know, I refuse to like go with the man. I'm not one that goes with the emoji that they give me, right? I'm like, okay. I don't like that one.
You're going to make your own?
But that one was perfect.
It was perfect.
Right?
Yeah. And I sent you the
because it suits you. Because it suits you. So there's so much to talk about with music and the art and the whatnot. But it's good to rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? You grew up in where? You grew up in what town?
Well, I was born in Syracuse, New York. So I did like childhood in New York. And then we moved to Georgia. I think I was 10. I can't remember. So Woodstock, Georgia, outside of Atlanta.
Okay. The 30144?
No. Wait, 30189?
Oh, my God.
I know. What the heck, man?
When I was a young man, Woodstock had one zip code and that was it.
You got to brush up on your zip codes.
Did you go? Where did you go to high school?
Etowah, go Eagles, caw, most spirited right here.
You did not win most spirited.
Sure did. I didn't want to go to the pep rallies. So I was like, oh, I'll just like apply to be an MC so I don't have to sit in the pep rally. You know what I mean? And then I got most spirited, which actually I hated. Because that's, you know, I don't know. I was like the artsy kid. I wasn't like screaming.
I was going to say, you seemed like not.
Yeah, I was so cool. I mean, it wasn't cool, but.
Were you all black chick?
No, I think I was blonde in high school. I've been dyeing my hair since like seventh grade.
Outfits, I meant.
Oh no. I was pretty colorful in high school too.
Okay.
It just, you know, it depended on the day.
And who were you listening to back then?
Probably only the Beatles. I know. Well, I'm such a daddy's girl and I grew up on his music.
Right.
So everything he loved, the Beatles and Elton John are big for me. He listens to a lot of Bruce Springsteen. I never listened to Bruce Springsteen that much though. I don't know.
Well, as easy as it is to say, oh, the Beatles, right? And right. Oh, the Beatles are my favorite. I feel like, man, this could go so many places.
I know.
If they affected you the way they affected me, right? There's so much to talk about.
I know. Well, there's a reason everyone knows them. It's so cliche to be like, I love the Beatles.
Right.
But it's like, well, you don't get to be the Beatles just because you're a cliche.
I just feel like none of us would be here.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, basically, there's a few different things. There's like Chuck Berry, the Beatles, I don't know, maybe the Stone. And like, that's the template for all music for the rest of time. Like, when you realize that every person on stage is trying to be Mick Jagger, who's really trying to be James Brown, then it's like, that's everybody, right?
Right. Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Beatles are great.
So, what record, if I said like from your youth, what record like jumps out first that you're just like, that's the one that you played over and over again? And I'm assuming on the album, not a tape. I'm assuming you had an album or CD.
Well, that's such a hard question. I love Rubber Soul, but my favorite record is Ram, which is Paul McCartney's solo
album.
I love that record. And there's no song on it that is like my favorite song in the world, but as a record, it's my favorite record.
Well, I'm definitely a Paul guy.
Yeah, me too.
All the way.
I love Lennon too, and Harrison.
Well, I know, but definitely, like, if you're going to be Paul or John, right? I mean, George comes in a tight second for me, right? John's just a different vibe.
Yeah. And he's a cool guy. He's going to just like...
Right.
He's just laying down all the...
But here's the thing. I'm old enough that Paul's 80s albums, I saw those tours.
Oh, okay? Really?
Yeah. So I saw the Flowers in the Dirt tour at the Omni. It was right after that, Off the Ground. But then I fell off. And like, he's had like 10 albums since.
Oh, yeah. He's constantly putting stuff out.
Right.
We saw him... Man, when was he in Atlanta? I was 17 and I got to see him in Atlanta. So I don't know.
He was outdoors?
It was somewhere at Piedmont Park.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to that show and I hurt my foot.
Oh,
neither here nor there. But interesting that you select Ram. I know I like his solo stuff, but I couldn't tell you one song on Ram.
Ram, you know, Ram On.
Except for Ram On.
To somebody. And the, Monkberry Moondelight's on McCartney, right?
Monkberry Moondelight.
I love that song too. Man, both of those albums are good.
Is Cook of the House on that one, that weird Linda one?
No. There's one, Lovely Linda, I think is... No, is that McCartney too? I'm getting them mixed up.
Right.
I don't know. They're great.
And what was the other one? I'm sorry. You said Beatles. And what else were you listening to? Oh, Elton John.
Oh, Elton John. You know.
Right. So my older sisters had just that greatest, that first greatest hits album. And I played that to like the death, right?
Yeah. That's definitely... You know, I never... Because as a kid, you don't... totally listen to the CD. Like, you don't realize you're listening to the CD. Your parents just kind of throw it on.
Right.
So I feel like his voice is sort of a soundtrack to growing up, but I couldn't tell you and like his discography. You know what I mean?
Have you heard a podcast called, I just put my face in the microphone. I can't think, is it called The Hit Parade? There's one where a guy dissects. Songs or albums, and then it sort of weaves in like their whole life.
So
there's this one episode that's about Elton John and George Michael, and they're what he calls imperial periods, which is like when you can do no wrong, when you do like three number one freaking records in a row and then you do whatever. It's pretty amazing. Mm. I will link it in the show notes if I remember. You know, people
Please
always say
do.
That. You know,
yeah.
People always say that. I rarely remember.
Oh, to link it in.
Right. What podcast do you listen to?
I mean, I love the Joe Rogan podcast. Right? That's kind of my jam. This is super nerdy and dangerous. Don't recommend this to your listeners, but I'll like find a History Channel thing on YouTube, and sometimes I'll play that in the car.
Why is it dangerous?
Oh, because it's not, you know, it's not podcast format. It's like,
but if you pay the money, you can supposedly just like put it down and it'll keep playing.
I know.
But you're not gonna. Okay. No. So you're growing up in Woodstock. You're listening to the Beatles. And do you have at that time young musician rock and roll dreams?
No, not at all. Not at all. When I was really little, I wanted to be an author. And then I think I did. I picked up the flute when I was 10. This is nerdy, but there's an American Girl doll book where the American Girl doll plays the flute. And I don't think I ever read it. I just saw the cover and I was like, oh, I want to play the flute. So I took flute lessons as a kid, but I just liked art. I did a lot of theater in high school too. Really just super artsy, but not, there was no musical direction. You know, that wasn't an aim.
Right. And the theater kid was never the MC at the pep rally. That's so cool that like you sort of were able to weave both worlds.
It was just way better than sitting in the stands.
And, I just love that was your way out though. Like, these are fucking boring. How can I get out of it? Oh, I'll be the person that's like, yay, go team.
Oh, do you want to hear something horrible though? One time, so my senior year, the school got a new gym and it was this big deal. Like, they just built a new gym because the freshmen used to not go to the pep rallies. They couldn't fit everyone in the gym. So it's like, the first pep rally in the new gym, the entire school's coming. It's like this huge deal. And so there were like five of us MCs, and we're so annoying, you know, painting up, whatever. They put us in the locker room and they're like, okay, we're going to open the doors and there's going to be like a fog machine and you guys are going to run out and like hype the crowd. It's like this big deal. I'm like, okay, can't wait. And I'm the only girl. So they're like, okay, girls first. So I run out and I trip on my shoelace and I fall. Like, it's like the first moment.
Awesome.
It's like the pep rally has begun. Oh, there's that crazy girl. And boom, just like flat on my face.
That's awesome.
From the whole school.
That's amazing.
That's what kind of MC I was.
Could you do flips?
Oh, nope. No.
like the kids in our high school.
I wasn't a cheerleader. Let's not get confused.
I know, but there was a couple guys and like they would do like the running sort of, what do you call it? Gymnastic.
Yeah. We did have one of those guys. I think it was Avery. He could do like a...
Good old Avery.
Good old Avery did like back handsprings and stuff like
right.
that.
Okay. So as the senior year winds down, mm-hmm. you are thinking, what am I going to do next?
Yeah. Ooh. And that's... Do you remember that time in your life? It's literally the worst. Like all the adults are like, where are you going to school? What are you going to study? And you're just... You don't know because you're 18. But I decided I would go into school for photography. But even that was a really vague desire. It was like the only thing I knew I was enjoying as a hobby, but I didn't feel super passionate about having a career in it, but it just, you know, oh, everyone's going to school, so I have to go to school. I didn't want to take a year off kind of thing. So
the older I get, tell me if this is your experience, mm-hmm. you know nothing. Like 18 to almost 30, you know nothing. So everything is a freaking experiment.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you think you have a clue and that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And then for some kids, and I see this in my siblings too, you get super depressed because you see all your friends that seem to have it figured out. That's in quotes for all our listeners. And you feel like you are broken because you're like, oh, well, they have a plan and they're going to do this and I don't know what the heck I want. And that's so... Yeah, the older I get, I'm like, I still don't know what I'm doing. Look at me. What am I doing?
So you went to UGA or did you go to SCAD?
I went to UGA.
I remember Athens in your
bio. Yep, my bio. I know.
Ugh. So you go to UGA mm-hmm. and you're still not going to do music because you know that like you have this great history there.
In Athens?
Athens has this great musical history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know what's crazy, too? Because I grew up on all the classics. I never went out to see shows, either. Zero desire to, like, go discover new music. I would only go to a show, literally, my first concert was Elton John, and then my dad took me to Paul McCartney. And, like, that, you know? I never went to concerts. So even music, the Athens music scene, that didn't occur to me that was even a...
And what years are we talking about now?
4 years of college. So
no, what year did you graduate high school?
Oh, 2010.
Okay. Oh my God.
No. Do you think I'm old or that's young?
That's just good. It's fine.
Okay. It's fine. Okay. I'm starting to feel old. I hit 26 and I panicked.
You should. Yeah. No, you should. You're fine. You're totally young. It's fine.
But yeah, so still, who, yeah, go ahead. Well, well.
So you didn't go to shows, but you did, I guess there is there, does this story have the, I was watching this show or I was watching this concert and I saw this person and I was like, yep, gonna do it. Is there that moment in this story? And there does not have to be.
I don't think there was. I definitely was always envious of people on stage. Like I remember in third grade, I went to the chorus concert in the lunchroom and I was like, oh, I wish I was up there. I don't want to be sitting here like watching them. And maybe that was the same thing with the MC thing in a little bit. It was like,
sitting is an issue for you.
Yes. A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate people on the stage and in any form, which is why I think I liked theater too. So, I think there was always that desire. I wasn't able to translate the desire into what I'm doing now. But I did, you know, I did musical things in college. I did musical theater and I, you know, would still play my flute occasionally. I did an a cappella group. I beatboxed for the a cappella group. You know, so there was stuff like that that I was pursuing on the side. I think one day my friend Jamil Walker was like, oh, you should try writing songs. It was like really random. And I did, and I liked it. And I don't know. Yeah, there was never this aha moment. I just graduated and decided I wasn't going to do photography. Literally the summer of graduation, I was like, okay, now I'm going to try to write songs.
But so how do we go from semi-depressed, I'm just going to take a stab, say you were semi-depressed at the end of college, girl writing her first song to, you know,
to now,
to Pip the Pansy.
Pip the Pansy. God, it's such a long story. But
I know, but that's kind of how I want to get there. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
So first of all, I think an interesting part of your story is, so first of all, so I found you, you know, just through IG, like somebody referred you or I just saw it, whatever it was.
Oh, cool.
And then I Googled you and was like, oh, she actually just had this brand change. I'm doing air quotes. Mm-hmm. I want to know about that because I know how hard it is let go of something that you've called, that you have, you know, websites about or whatever. So why don't we get a little bit about old Ren.
I know. Yeah.
And then we'll get to this massive thing, which like that to me is like fascinating and huge and probably super scary. And
yeah, I will say,
but let me just back up.
Yeah. Okay, we'll back up.
So here's the thing. I'm a guy. Okay. I learned to play the bass and or the drums and or guitar. And I go, hey, other friends, let's jam. Okay, cool. Now we wrote a song. Now we're a band, blah, blah, blah. Because your style is so unique. And because the kind of music that you play is, I don't even want to make you give it a name. Like, it just seems like it's a harder path from learn how to play an instrument, jam with my buddies in the garage, let's get a gig. So that's kind of the strange.
Yeah. I mean, I'll try to be concise.
Try to be concise.
I know. I tend to ramble.
No, just it's fine. This is the point of this. This is what.
Yeah, that's true.
This is why
fun.
You enjoy Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah, because they're just shooting the poop.
Can I
say shit?
You can totally curse.
They're just shooting the shit. Yeah, so I graduated. At the time I was dating a guitar player. And so, as sour as that relationship ended up, it was actually really crucial to getting to where I am. Cause I wouldn't have had any clue what the music industry looked like. And I think my method was fake it till you make it. So
yes.
I did an album. I didn't play shows. I said, I'll just go write it. I'll record an album and it will be out and people will think I have already existed. And it's a terrible album. I've taken it down since. I don't know. It's not, I should be nice to
it. What was it called?
It was called Hi, like hello, just H-I.
Okay. How many songs?
12.
And where was it available?
You know, you might still be able to find it on Bandcamp, actually.
Okay.
But it was on Spotify and iTunes and I mean.
But again, I'm trying to get for a time factor. So all those things already existed.
Kind of. I mean, I graduated and then I made a Facebook page called Ren, which is my grandma's maiden name, which we can talk about that later when the lawsuit comes. But but yeah, so I made a Facebook page and then I made a Kickstarter and I think I raised $7,000, which was unbelievable.
Hey guys,
to me.
It's Aaron. Yeah. I'm making an album.
It's crazy, right? Because I've never
that I want to see. Is that still available?
Oh yeah, it's so cheesy. It's like
is it as my kids would say, is it cringy?
It's to me, it's cringy. Right. Yeah. So it's like a montage of me with like my ukulele with some sappy song in the background. Like,
of course.
Yeah. Oh God, I hate doing stuff like that.
Internet lives forever now, though, man.
Oh, I know. That's why you shouldn't put your nudes up.
Definitely don't.
forever, but yeah, raised money, did an album at Chase Park Transduction, which is in Athens. They were very patient with me because I didn't even know like the volume knobs on the headphones. They gave me my headphones and they're like, okay, here's your mix. I was like, I don't know what a mix is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this knob does. He's like, that's your volume. You know, just really embarrassingly didn't know anything.
Did you? Okay, so so I graduated high school in the late 80s, which was only 5 to 10 years after Athens had this huge thing. Right,
with REM and stuff.
REM, B-52s, there's a bunch of other bands that people who are, if you're young, you don't know. There's Pylon, there was a documentary and a tape CD called Athens Inside Out. That's actually, it's a good little history lesson. If I remember to link it, I will. Anyhow, but it was still just like, yeah, man, like Athens is still kind of a scene.
Yeah.
So how is it 20 years later? Like, is any of that talked about? Like,
yeah.
It's like, hey, Athens, GA, cool musical place.
Yeah, I think it's still definitely a scene from, you know, that's my perception. I don't know. I bet some townies probably are like, oh no, it's so terrible.
Do the townies like being called townies?
I don't know. I'm sorry, townies. I was a townie for a little bit, maybe. Because I lived there after school for a few years. So, yeah, I think there's still an interesting music scene. Athens is so funny. This is going to sound like a slam, and it's totally not. But Atlanta has a lot of incredibly trained musicians. Like, I've met so many jazz musicians, very, very good at their craft. And Athens musicians are just, I think, a little more self-taught. I hope that doesn't sound mean, but it kind of creates a way more artistic
right.
vibe. It's not that it's less talented. It's less... there's less hired guns. I don't know. That sounds mean too. God, I'm so sorry, everybody.
I totally get it.
You know what I mean? It's just different.
It's less Juilliard and more, I just taught myself in my room. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And because of
and
that.
And listen, there are phenomenal actors that went to Juilliard and there are phenomenal actors that fucking came out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. It's not a slam on any way to do it. I just think that it makes Athens a little bit unique because there's not any jazz holes, which is like the people that are so... I get super self-conscious around people that are really well-versed in music because they know, you know, they know all the notes you're playing. And sometimes when you're not trained, you're just playing it because it feels right, not because you know that right. that
And some people
sense.
Are some people are both, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you an Elvis Costello fan?
Oh my God, I love Elvis Costello.
As do I.
Yeah.
And he's like, he like embodies like the punk spirit. And now he like makes amazing things with fucking orchestras and whatever. And he's got a very, I'm guessing he knows how to read a note.
Yes.
Right?
He probably does.
Right?
Yeah. No, there's incredible. Yeah. There's people that are both. There's people that are one. There's people that are the other. And it's incredible. But I think the majority of people I met in Athens were very artistic.
I'm like,
it's okay.
This hoodie.
Do your thing, man. I'll keep talking. just saw Matt's back, everyone, in case you're wondering.
You said that.
Yeah.
On the air.
On air. He just took his hoodie off and I saw his back. It was embarrassing.
God, I turned around.
Anyways, God, I'm rambling. Basically, because Athens is so artsy and less, you know, instrumentalist, I think they're really receptive to everything in a way, which is why someone who has literally never done music before could just jump in and it was accepted.
So which instruments are on this first album?
Man, it's, I played a lot of keys when I first started off. I still play keys at my shows, but not as often. So it was pretty key heavy, guitar because my boyfriend played guitar. I had 3 horn players. So trumpet, trombone, 2 horn players, didn't have saxophone. I had strings come in. I mean, I went to the school and asked all the music school kids if they wanted to be on this project. And, you know, it, I put a lot of instruments on it, which in hindsight is not always a good thing. It's just I didn't know what I was doing. So it was like, and I love the Beatles. So I'm like, oh, I want quirky horns on this. And I want a string section on this.
Might as well make Sgt. Pepper for your first record.
Yeah, but let's just make it clear. It is not Sgt. Pepper at all.
So you said you took it down, but are there any of those songs that still live in your shows?
I will occasionally bring out an old song, but you know, that's a funny thing about art and kind of the blessing of being an indie artist is that you don't have any huge hits that you have to keep playing. So it's nice to keep growing until you really figure out who you are, you know? So sometimes if it's right, maybe I'll play one, but for the most part, I think they were just a stepping stone into, you know, the next chapter.
So you think your fans just want whatever?
Well,
they just want, hey, this chick creates cool music, so we don't care if we know the words or not.
Maybe. Definitely some people were upset when I took down the old album, and I've had people reach out. And the funny thing, though, too, is that, and we can get into this, but I'm legally obligated not to sell anything that has the old name on it. So it's even the cover of it, if it had the name on it, I had to take it
down. All right, we got
to
go there. We got to go there.
Let's jump in.
Okay. Yeah. So your band's name, or you are known as Wren.
Yes.
W-R-E-N-N.
That's right. Wren.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's Irish. So we should have done. I'm not good at an Irish accent.
Yeah, me either. I can only do a really bad English accent for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I liked W-R-E-N-N.
It sounds cool.
Okay. So you were performing and playing as such.
Yep. And I had the album High on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. And I had an EP called Apathy and Good Books. So it had, you know, maybe like 18 songs up.
Right.
And man, I got to be careful too, because I can't say anything super negative. But there was another artist on the West Coast.
Can we back up for a second?
Yeah.
As a musician... Like to get a podcast on iTunes, you literally hit publish to iTunes. Now, I'm guessing if it's horribly racist, they might not say yes, but
right.
As far as I know, like everybody can get their for music.
It's similar.
Okay, then what about what about money? Like hey, I throw it up there and it's free, or does like Spotify give you a few cents? How does that work?
Yeah, you can collect your royalties, I guess. So I don't make much off of Spotify. Well, I had a couple songs that got put in H&M stores, and so I would get like a little check every month because they were playing, you know, I was on rotation enough. And my husband Sam, who also does music, he's got several songs that have surpassed 1 million plays, so he'll get a check that's substantial, you know.
Well, but see, this is the thing. Supposedly, who was I talking to? Oh, are you a 80s hair metal fan by chance?
I can't say that I am.
Okay, well,
I'm sorry.
So there's a band called Slaughter.
Okay.
That had a couple of hits, which I'll play you on my iPhone later.
Wonderful.
And we were talking about that because, you know, this was the pre-iTunes time. And but he said that he saw very famous people like showing their royalty checks, like thinking it's to prove to people it's not that much.
It's not a lot.
Even for a ton of plays. So I'm interested to hear. So would we have heard of your husband, by the way?
Sam Birchfield. He's in the Atlanta scene. I don't know. He does really well, I think, on the East Coast. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys tour together?
Sometimes. It's kind of a new thing for us. I'm pretty anxious working with people, especially the closer I am to them. I don't know, the scarier it is to practice and write together. So that's its own little...
All right. So let's get back to where we were. So you get a letter, an email. What is the first you're made aware that there might be a problem?
I got a message from one of her friends that was, you know, rude.
My friend has that name.
Yeah, pretty much. And here's the thing that was frustrating is that at the time that I was made aware of this artist, she had one track on SoundCloud and that was it. I mean, there's
so way less than you.
What I perceive to be way less. That's, you know, depends on how you define, you know, less or more. Because it could be that she had a lot going on behind the scenes and I just didn't know it, you know? But, from where I was, in Atlanta and she's in LA. I was like, well, this is not a problem. She's got a thing on SoundCloud. She's never toured. She's never, you know. And meanwhile, I've been hustling. I'm like in the trenches doing terrible tours and putting stuff up on online and, you know, spending all my time and energy and money on that. So in my mind, it just wasn't an issue. And it was just one of her friends that reached out and was like, you know, just like a little troll message.
So did you respond?
I think I did respond to that person. And I was like, oh, I just, you know, I want to make it clear that I'm not trying to copy your friend. And it is always a bad idea to respond. I should have just not responded. But you know, cause then they get their other friends and then you have like a horde of trolls that are upset at you. And it, anyway, I just didn't understand cause I, you know, just from looking at it, I was like, this is not a big deal. And there's actually a lot of Wrens on Spotify. And what I've learned through the legal process is it didn't matter how we spelled it. Like even if it was R E N, someone can still send you a cease and desist because it's likelihood of confusion. We just happen to spell it the same. And I think some of the metadata was at risk of switching, which happened. Sometimes her profile picture would show up on my Spotify and it wasn't anyone like.
Quick side note.
Side note.
I have a show called The Atlanta Podcast. There's another show called The Atlanta Podcast.
Yeah, be careful, man.
Well, I bought theatlantapodcast.com, so
that's
I own
good,
that.
Yeah.
But when you talk about metadata, and this is totally about me, so sorry, audience.
No, this is great.
I can't show up in church. I cannot show up in search.
I thought you said in church. I was like,
show up
what?
In church.
Who is hurting you?
I can't show up in church. They hurt me there. And at first I thought, okay, so they're a couple months ahead of me. It'll just take me a little while. Now in Google, I kick their ass.
Yeah.
Right. You type in the Atlanta Podcast in your phone. I come up. Some other things come up too.
Sure.
But not them.
Right.
iTunes, I couldn't figure out for the life of me. Right. And right. A friend of mine suggested, well, if the iTunes machine searches and finds them, it doesn't need to show you because it already thinks it found it. So then I started changing some of the metadata to say ATL podcast,
sure.
Right? Blah, blah,
right.
Blah. Then I'm on a Facebook group, which is quite helpful. And I don't know why I didn't ask there sooner. And I go, hey guys, I'm having the biggest problem here. Right. And I do everything right. I do the metadata. And he's like, well, here's your problem. You're called the Atlanta Podcast. Here's some words that iTunes doesn't like. The.
Oh, wow.
And podcast.
What?
Right?
Okay, that makes sense.
You see what I'm saying?
Actually,
it's extraneous. Like sure. Everything's the podcast. And
sure.
Then the. So I'm like, okay, so I should just start typing in Atlanta? Like, but then the show Atlanta is called. Anyway, so I've got to do some, real work around this to figure out.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm great. And people are going to tell other people. And that's how.
Right, you want them to be able to find you.
But search is huge.
Yes.
Search
absolutely.
Is bloody huge.
Yeah.
So if I can't master that, then I'm going to forever. Because that's the other thing. When you go into iTunes and you type in Atlanta Podcast, here's a show about the Braves that stopped 5 years ago. Here's a show that the AJC did for 5 minutes 3 years ago. It's like, why aren't I coming
right.
up sooner than those things?
Right.
And then, of course, as you know, as I'm sure, everybody's trying to game the system, so they jam keywords into the metadata, so it gets harder and harder for a legitimate person.
It's crazy.
Like, I was going to call the show The Atlanta Podcast with Matt Davis, and people are like, no, they shut that shit down if you try to sneak your name, because that's not the name of the show, that's the host, because people fucking game the shit out of
what
it.
What about the Joe Rogan Experience?
Well, he's the fucking Joe Rogan Experience, but I'm saying, like, if you called your show Pip the Pansy, cool music, blah, 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 from Athens.
Sure. It would be like, that's too much.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah. And they're gonna boot you. So
right.
Anyway, it's interesting that we're having this conversation about names.
No, yeah.
Which I didn't plan on having with you, but
no,
I know you understand my plight.
Yes, I do. It's very frustrating. I mean, I had articles written about me that had facts about this other person.
Right.
I mean, crazy stuff that was just, it was all mixed up.
Is the music anything alike?
No, no.
What does she play?
I would say that she's like, I would call it sad girl rock is what I would call it.
Okay. Who
That's
else
not a slam. That's
but who else falls in that category? So we know.
I think she looks like Avril Lavigne a little bit. I don't know. I'm not trying to slam it. It's definitely like.
Avril Lavigne was like fun, angry girl.
Yeah.
But not
I'm just
really
saying she kind of
angry,
looks,
but not really threatening girl.
Right.
Music
a similar
from the late
vibe.
90s.
I try not to listen to this. It truly gets
it's not like yours.
No, it's different.
No one would confuse you.
Well, the unfortunate thing is we were both, you know, young blonde girls, you know, in our 20s. So,
but you're not blonde right now.
Oh, no. I mean, it changes every month. It was pink a couple weeks ago. So,
okay. But, okay. So the messages come from the friends. You go, hey, sorry, I wasn't trying to be mean. And then more messages come. And then what?
Yeah. It, you know, I get a lot of stuff from her people, and she finally reached out and said something like, oh, we should try to figure this out before it gets messier, I guess. Not in a threatening way.
Right. Sounds nice.
So I got her phone number because I already had a lawyer ready to go. And he was like, look, if she asks you for whatever, just get her number and I'll call her. You should not talk to her at all. So I got her number, gave it to my lawyer, and then it just, you know, it exploded from there. It was probably a year and a half of ridiculous back and forth, thousands and thousands of dollars. It was crazy. And I got a lot of hate mail from her people. And it just was not, in my mind, it could have been resolved just talking it out, probably the two artists. But her dad works for The Voice. They had a lot of lawyers and a lot of money, I think, backing her. And to me, it just seemed silly because we were both baby artists. It was, you know, it's not like Lana Del Rey versus Radiohead. It was just these two artists that are trying to start doing music, basically. So it was crazy.
So you took the high road.
Well, no. I mean, I was really stubborn at first because for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I already have way more. There's no way this is justified.
So can we back up a little bit? When your lawyer said, just let me talk to her, did part of you think, well, let me just call her first girl to girl, gal to gal?
No, because I mean, I had gotten a lot of hate from her people. Right. And so I thought, well, I don't know if that reflects her or not. But there was a lot of malicious stuff and she would respond to certain people. And I just thought, I don't want to talk to her. And I truly felt safer having my lawyer talk to her at the time. That felt like the right thing. But it got to a certain point, I think like 6 or 7 months in, where it's like, okay, this is crazy. I wish that we could just talk, you know, whatever. And, you know, it finally goes to litigation and we're suing each other. And all, it was just, because you get to a certain point where you can't say no, because when she sued me, it's like, I have to respond to it. I can't, because if I don't, then I lose everything.
So did it go, is there a case somewhere?
Oh yeah. You can Google Merkovich v. Notre Thomas. It is crazy. It's the craziest thing that's happened to me.
Who's who?
Oh, Notre Thomas is me.
That's your last name?
It was my maiden name. Notre Thomas.
Is that Swedish, German?
No, it used to be Notar Tommaso, Italian.
Notar Tommaso.
Notar Tommaso.
And she's what?
Merkovich.
I don't think I liked how you said that.
No, I'm very nice. And her dad is Paul Merkovich, which I guess he's done stuff with Cher, and he's the band leader for The Voice. So,
wait a minute. When you said The Voice, I thought you meant the Village Voice. You mean the television show The Voice?
NBC The Voice. Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah, you're fucked. Okay.
This is what was coming out.
I thought you meant, so there's a you know, the Rag or the Mag, whatever, the Village Voice.
Mm-mm.
It's a famous New York thing.
No,
and
I thought
maybe it, like, because I think they eventually went to West Coast and they called it The Voice. The show The Voice, which currently is viewed by 20 gazillion people.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to have to just be like, you know what? I'll just have to take the L here.
Yeah. Well, and it was frustrating because we really thought there's no way, based on what I already had.
Your body of work.
My body of work. I was like, there's no way. And so, but I was very stubborn about the name. It's my grandma's maiden name. I love the name. I worked really hard from like the ground up to sort of build my little thing. I was like some entitled person that has money is just going to come take this from me because they want it. I know I got to be nice, but legally obligated to be nice.
So when did your lawyer, who persuaded you to finally go, you know what? This is
my litigators. They were like, look, this is going to go on
forever.
They're like, you can keep fighting it. But it was they're like, the opposing team is stubborn. They've got more money than you. They're not, just based on how it was going. It was, you know, it would have been another 2 to 3 years. She, you know, upwards of $150,000.
Has she already stopped playing music, by the way?
I don't know.
You don't.
I can't look because it was torture for a long time.
I totally get it.
Yeah. So when my litigators told me that and I was sitting in the car with my dad, because I would have been a bankrupt person if my dad had not helped me through the process. And I just saw my dad get really stressed out, and I realized I can't, it actually was affecting my family because they would do anything for me, and the name was important to them too. But I just, it was no longer worth it, because what the name meant for me was turning into just this prideful thing of like, well, now I need to keep it. And that's not who my grandma is. She wouldn't have acted that way. And so it was kind of, I can still let Ren live in a different way for me. And so we told, and what's crazy is I told her she could have the name and that I would sell it to her for like a couple grand. And they said no. And it went on for another 6 months. And then they sued me. It's like, look, I'm literally offering to give you exactly what you want. And you're still just, you're just draining me of everything I have for fun. Like, it really was crazy. It was like a cat playing with a mouse. I couldn't believe it. And then when they sued me and I sent a counterclaim, because we had some stuff that we were trying to avoid, that it costs a lot of money to sue somebody. But finally, so I sued her back, and then they were like, oh, okay, never mind. We'll pay you for the name. It was like, really? We could have done this. Could have done this 10 months ago.
Well, I'll give you a quick, like, what do you call it?
A blanket, a pin, point. We're playing charades here, everyone. Trying to figure out what Matt's trying to think of.
A quick litmus test.
Mm.
I'm going to go see some music tonight. Who are you going to see? Ren? Oh, that sounds okay. Hey, I'm going to see somebody tonight. Who are you going to see? Pip the Pansy? What? What is that?
Thank you. That sounds amazing. Thank you.
Is it a person? Is it a person? So when I hear that name and I see you with your, I mean, isn't it kind of one of these stories that's like,
I can't
believe we ever fought about it. And yep. 30 years from now, it'll be like this little footnote that once upon a time was called Ren.
Yeah.
Right.
I appreciate that. Cause it really
but I'm not just saying that cause you're sitting in front of me. I'm saying that's my genuine reaction.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate that. And when I did the name change, people were like, that's the dumbest name I've ever heard. I hate that.
Right.
And I had people that I was about to work with that were like, we don't want that name on our roster. We can't work with you anymore. And I was like, man, I just spent a year and a half of someone telling me I couldn't have my name.
Clearly, you have no autistic vision.
Clearly.
No, but right.
But yeah, so, and that was part of why I actually fell in love with it, because as I was pitching it to people, they were like, ugh. Either they were like, ugh, or I love it. But there was no like, cool. Because Ren is just cool.
Did you already look like you look now?
Yeah.
Then,
I mean,
it's
still kind of crazy.
But then it kind of fits.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I even sent an Instagram note to Ren. I'm pretty sure I sent one to Pip the Pansy. I'm being serious.
I appreciate it. I know. And I feel better as Pip the Pansy, really. Like, I feel like it gives, the name gives me permission to be as quirky and awkward as I want.
Right.
Because that, it just already is that, just by the name itself. So
as quirky as they want to be. Remember that album?
No. Man, I'm failing on all of your references.
That's a Two Live Crew reference. Very, very famously had a record called As Nasty As They Want to Be.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Do you know who Two Live Crew is? She's looking around.
But yeah. So that's the summary of it. It was a very long and stupid thing. And I'm still in a lot of legal debt.
But that's okay. I said, we'll laugh at this at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's one of the things I want to talk to you about. Well, you know, before I ask you this, I want a refill of coffee.
Yeah.
Would you also like a refill of coffee?
I guess so.
Because we can pause, but I hate breaking up the flow, but I really like coffee.
Yeah. It just feels good to have a thing to sip.
Well, and I'm a fucking crack addict for coffee.
Yeah, me too. Okay, let's pause.
Okay, but don't say anything good.
I'm not going to talk to you. Starting now.
And we're back.
We're back. Hey, everyone.
Have you done a lot of lame morning radio shows?
Only like two.
Really?
Yeah.
Where like the guys are trying to be super funny and they're really horrible and lame.
Oh, no. I was kind of by myself. They just put me in a room and they're like, this is channel whatever and here's... Well, it was when I was Ren. So like, here's Ren with the song. And then it's just like me in a newsroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't do any like...
I didn't banter with them.
Wacky morning zoo?
Oh, no. No. Okay. That sounds...
That's the Keurig doing its thing.
It's haunted.
All right. So let's get into music.
Yeah, let's do it.
No, here's what I want to talk about with you. So I feel like you're a great example of... someone who's working in the new fandom economy. I don't know what the generic term is for like Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you explain what Patreon is to the listeners?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Because still a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. And I'm actually... Okay, so it's similar to a crowdfunding site, but I hate stuff like Kickstarter and GoFundMe where it's like, I need this gigantic sum of money and I need it now. You know what I mean? Whereas Patreon is, it's kind of like a subscription to an artist. So I
fucking watch us loud.
So people basically just subscribe to get monthly behind the scenes content. But I like it because I'm such an art history nerd. And so I totally geek out about this on the bio on Patreon, that the entire Renaissance was funded by patrons. It's not like people were just, it's crazy because now there's this mentality that you're just good and then you exist and people get to take everything that you've made. And it's like, no, there would be no Michelangelo or any of these people. There'd be no Galileo if people.
I know him as Michelangelo, but whatever. You can call him whatever you want.
Michelangelo. Right. Michelangelo? You say Michael?
Is it Michael?
Mikkel?
Do you say Mikkel? Michelangelo or Michelangelo?
She probably says.
We got two votes for Michael.
All right. Let us know, listeners.
She is Italian. Her last name is Vonsersol.
Not Tommaso. No. Well, I say. Okay. Michelangelo. Whatever. All these people, right? They're funded by patrons. They basically live with these wealthy people. It's aristocrats of society that are paying to have art done. Because then also, if your artist makes this awesome thing, you're like, yeah, I funded that guy. Like, you know, I don't know, kind of a pride thing, like a status thing for people back then. So we don't do that so much. And well, there's ways that we do it, but I think it's more that people just expect artists to exist. And then, you know, we forget that we reap the benefits of art all the time because we're so immersed in it. So Patreon is kind of a modern take on it where you basically have patrons, but they're giving you money monthly. And in return though, you have to share with them pretty much everything that you're doing. So I'll do like a lot of demos that honestly are cringeworthy and I would never share them with the public, but because these people are funding what I'm doing, I let them kind of have a peek into the process, which is like, you know, you feel super vulnerable, but also it's nice that there's people that I like it because it's people that genuinely want to do it. You know, like someone's not going to subscribe to you monthly if just to be nice, because it's a long-term thing. Versus Kickstarter where it's like, oh, it's going to like, I have to go see Erin at church next week. If I don't give her money on her Kickstarter, she's going to judge me. Like, you know, weird stuff like that. So, I don't know.
So talk about the levels.
Oh, okay. So yeah, there's different levels of patronage. So for $1, people get, you know, like lyrics and announcements and stuff early. They're just kind of a part of the club. So each level has more. I think $5, they get demos. $10, they get like art. And then I have a few people that are at the $30 tier, which that's a ton to give someone every month, right? So they get like, I'll sign a Polaroid and mail it to them, and handwrite lyrics and mail it to them, stuff. You know, so it's just, it's nice because it's a way to keep me working, because you can go through lulls, but if you feel, you know, there's kind of this pressure to give these people something. So it keeps me on my toes and it keeps me working. It keeps them engaged and excited. And I also get a little bit, you know, I don't have a ton of patrons yet, so it's not like this huge amount of money, but it, you know, it's a good little check that comes in every month that helps with merch or whatever, you know. So I like it.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about my experience with it because
did you have a bad experience?
I have a fantastic experience.
Oh, okay, great.
So, and again, this becomes a little bit about me, but
no, I love it. I hate talking about myself this much. So,
well, it's if I think my listeners get value and the person sitting across from me will get value.
Yeah.
So I started my obstacle company in 2012 and very quickly was like, okay, I don't want to be subscription based, right? Mm. And even today, right, six people hate being behind a paywall, as they call it. So back then I was like, okay, I'm going to do everything for free and then you get advertisers, right? And that's kind of that's like what a lot of people who make content do. Pretty standard.
Yeah.
So I was doing that and doing that, and then Patreon came around like 3 years ago and I was like, I don't really know what to do. Like, I don't want to deal with merch. So I'll just say like, okay, if $1, you get a sticker and a shout out. $2, you get another shout out because I like you, but you're just saying, and I didn't treat it at all like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they have very specific, like, here's how we think you can make the most money. But I don't read that because that's for,
yeah, who reads who's all that for, stuff?
Right? right?
Just wing it.
So guess what? So guess what I got? Not very much. A friend of mine says, Matt, I love what you do. Like, you don't seem to be maximizing this Patreon thing. Do you? Can I help you? I was like, yes. So he goes, send me your numbers, right? Send me what you have now and how many listeners you have. And he read the different...
Oh, it's great to have a friend that does that for you.
And he goes, this is what you need to do, okay? And then I watched like a couple of videos, like a couple of like other people had them on their podcasts or videos, whatever. And I did the levels like they said. And I set a goal like they said. And guess what happened? Oh, I'm telling you, I'm fucking overnight. I am not kidding you.
For real.
Over bloody night, people switched from $3 to $5, some from 5 to 10. Ready for this? A couple people switched from 10 to 12. There's no added level at 12.
They just did it.
So there's this psychology about wanting to support you and wanting to help you make your goals.
Right.
And I was like, but isn't it kind of a bait and switch if when I know I get to $100 a month, I'm just going to switch it to something else? They're like, no, it's like this. People want to help you.
Right.
So when I get.
And they're like with you on the journey.
Yeah.
If you do get the $100, it's like, oh, great. Like we're on to the next level and you're all coming with me. Yeah.
And I felt super guilty and weird because I was like, they know I get advertising. So how can, and I put all that in the intro. I go, look, like, this is what it takes to like keep the lights on and feed my family. And I would, and so when people now sign up and I thank them personally, like I write them right away, thank you so much. They're always like, no, thank you. I love what you guys are doing.
That's awesome.
You know, but that like starving artist, I'm not worthy bullshit part of me, like that's what I'm fighting.
No, I know, me too. And well, that's why I hated Kickstarters. I've done two Kickstarters and I feel like crap afterwards. And it's so great to get funded because you need it. But it's like, yeah, I just feel gross. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. And then, blah. Sorry, everyone. And then you're just like, peace out. You know, I don't know. It feels weird. Can I adjust this? Is it going to?
We're having mic issues.
Yeah. Okay. Just like threw it in my face.
So when I tell you that overnight it changed and then every like few days, like, it, and then again, like I have a special relationship with them. I make goofy videos.
Yeah.
Like I just, and it's fun to do.
Yeah. And you don't feel annoying. Like on my other socials, I'm like, are people just so sick of seeing my stupid face pop up on their feed? But with my patrons, I'm like, they're literally paying to see my stupid face pop up on this feed. So it doesn't, I feel way more comfortable on that platform.
And again, like the part of me that wants to beat myself up is like, Matt, if you were doing this, you'd already be at like a few grand a month. Like if you fucking did this like you were supposed to. And also for me, the lesson, like I have this, like my biggest lesson, like this is now written on my wall at home. When all else fails, read the directions. Because that lesson I keep hitting that one time and time again. I don't need to read the five basic things you do to be a successful patron. Why would I want to read those? So who's that
funny.
For?
That's so funny. Right? Yeah, it's true.
And so, and now I've been helping friends do it.
Man,
like I'm like, dude, this is what you can do, like to make it work.
Okay.
And it's like, anyway, if you want to talk afterwards,
yeah, I'm going to check out your Patreon page.
Yeah, it's super cool. I'm a huge fan, and interestingly enough, Atlanta Podcast doesn't have one yet, and I want to.
Because
I don't make anything.
Totally do it
right. So anyway, I think you're someone who, because it's not just music, because you're like this visual person, it's great. Like you're like a, like they should do a little study on you.
No, I was gonna say though, if anyone is considering it, I would say it does take a particular type of person to want to do it. Like my husband, for example, he's like, look, I love to write songs and that's it. And and it's too much to keep up with monthly for him, because you can't, it's not like you can go into the studio every month and be putting out songs.
Right.
So for someone like me, it's a great platform, but it's not for everybody.
No, of course.
But yeah, it helps that I have a background in visual arts, because that's just like another thing I can offer, you know?
So for you, let's talk about the performance. So for you, I guess, is there a method to the madness? Like, I'm going to give people this. Because again, for your husband, it's like, let's fucking rock, dude. Right?
Yeah.
And like when you get more money, I guess, when you're like YouTube or Kiss, you can do some amazing thing.
Right.
But so for you, how conscious are you of what kind of, I guess, show you're giving them? It's air quotes, show.
You know, that's been such a journey, because when I first started out, I didn't know, again, like zero clue what the music industry looked like. Zero clue what an indie show looked like, because I'd only been to these huge like rock star shows, right? So it's just
McCartney and Piedmont Park.
Yeah, it's like I had no concept of what it looked like. So in my naive mind, I was like, oh, I play a song and then I play the next song, and there was no show, right? It was just like song, awkward pause, song. So I've grown a lot since that. I mean, and that's how most people start too. I've seen shows now of new people and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just like me. It was just like song, and then now I'm gonna play this song, and you know, it's like,
which I wrote in my dorm room.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, it's so awkward, but you have to have a show like that to grow. But now, and I think having a background in the arts, I'm very aware of what people are seeing, I guess. And I think you're going to remember what you saw more than what you heard. So now I'm like incorporating these animal heads, and it's very floral. I've got like the flower skirt that goes around the keyboards, because I don't like how the wires look and all this kind of stuff. So like automatically people are like, I saw this crazy like circus girl, but you know, I want it to stand out visually. And then of course the music is, I mean, it's very important, but I do focus a lot on just what it looks like, because that's what people remember more. And then they can go home and listen to it on Spotify and they're gonna be like, oh yeah, it was awesome. Even if I messed up singing, you know.
How prolific do you think you need to be? So I searched you today on the music store, iTunes, whatever you call it. Sorry. The music store on my application on my phone. So by the funny. Way, guys, app stands for application. Not sure if you knew that.
What?
And the one, I guess, EP comes up, and then something like one other song comes up.
Mm.
So how important is, like, do you want to put it, like, I want to have an album a year, or I want to have two EPs a year, or like, where are you with that?
Yeah, so that's, I'm actually in the process of writing the next, I want it to be an album. It might just be a lengthy EP. I haven't decided yet. It would be a dream to put out music like months ago. It's just finding the funding. And then with the lawsuit, that just put everything on hold. Because probably the EP that showed up was Royal Blue Daydream, I think. Did it have a blue background or was it white and black?
I'm going to look it up right now.
All right. but that, I mean, I had recorded it and then I had to wait basically a year. Yeah, okay. So the Royal Blue Daydream EP. I had to wait a year to put that out because during the lawsuit, I was not allowed to tour or put music out. So,
yo, okay, sorry. I'm now completely distracted. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Phones will do that.
Well, this is the single, All My Friends Are Animals, and this is just like rocking like horse head looking.
Ah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you pay someone to do those?
No, I do everything in-house.
You do that?
Yeah,
on
man.
On what program?
Photoshop.
That's super good, dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, that's super good.
Nah. So yeah, putting music out often would be a dream come true. And I'm right now in the midst of writing stuff, like literally the past 3 days. This is so refreshing to talk to a human being because I've just been locked in my house writing.
Well,
so.
You talk about, you know, like the money, but it does seem like one can make a record, you know, in their own home.
Oh yeah. So I did go to Austin with that record. A guy named David Butler, who I really, really like because I'm such a freak.
Like, did you play at South by Southwest when you say I went to Austin?
No. His studio's in Austin. Okay. So I recorded the last project in Austin with David Butler. And I'm a freak when I work with people. I get so nervous. And he's like the first person that I think understood my, like, where I was really vulnerable in the process. And you know what I mean? It was really, really good. So I'd love to work with him again. But he has his own project that they're quite busy touring. So it's, you know, part of it is scheduling. Part of it too is with the last stuff, I didn't have $30,000 of legal fees that I needed to recoup,
ship
you know?
Down,
so,
right.
So that's played a big part in it now. And just with the brand change, it took a long time to really figure out, again, because Pip the Pansy gives me permission to be that much more awkward. But, you know, figuring out what I really want that to look and sound like now. Because I do, in a way, it's this opportunity to start fresh. I eventually don't have to have any of that, the Ren stuff, follow me. So it's been a big hunk of time just figuring out what it looks like. But now I feel really ready to get in the studio. That's the, I mean, That's the whole point of it, is to put stuff out in a way, or to share art.
So are you someone that's like, okay, the calendar turned, here's my 2019 goals, or do you not do that?
I forgot to this year. Last year I did. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this and this. I read like all these self-help books, like the 12-week year that we were just talking about. What's the book that she's reading?
She's reading The Artist Way.
The Artist Way. Perhaps Classic. That'll be, yes. Perhaps that will be my new book this year. No, I mean, I like the new year because it's a good time to reflect on what you did and where you would like to go. I don't ever have a classic resolution like I'm gonna lose 20 pounds or, you know.
I'm dare gonna I read say, more. I don't think you could stand to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah, probably.
You're a relatively thin person.
Relatively.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that in 2019.
I don't know. It's okay. I'm not easily offended.
I'm making a very.
I believe in being polite, but sometimes PC just goes overboard. You know what I mean? I am PC in a polite way.
Right.
But I'm not going to be offended if you call me a girl or if you say the word thin. I actually quite like it.
Okay. Well, I think we should do a song, and I'm thinking, or two. And I'm thinking we might want to go, I don't know, maybe into one of these edit bays because it's maybe the sound would be a lot better than this massive spacey room.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for whatever.
We have to ask our host for the day if we can do that. They have these little edit.
Host for the day.
What was your, what was your bathroom song?
Oh, I can't remember. It was going to be called Basic Needs. Taking care of our basic needs. Going to the bathroom.
Well, now you're saying it completely different.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
It was much more of a,
It was like a jingle. It was
much more of like a Schoolhouse Rock.
I don't know.
Taking care of our basic needs. But then just now you saw it was much more intense. All right. Let's figure out how to play a song in here.
Okay. Here's one that I wrote in my dorm room. No. It is an old song. It's called Who Lays Beside You. I did write it in college, so it might have been written in a dorm room. I don't remember. Lays beside you when all those lonely thoughts creep in. Who's there to guide you when no one really knows where you've been? Forehead peeks in. Okay.
Favolina, belle bianca, hola, hola, ma si stanca. Gira qua e gira là, può essere sta sopra un fiore. Yeah. Ecco, ecco, ha trovata bianca e rossa, colorata, gira qua e gira là. Poi si resta sopra un fiore, yeah. Vola, 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 libertà.
Some pop songs that are genius, right?
Yeah.
Super
yeah.
simple. And then there's some that it's like
my wife, there's songs like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well,
versus like Poker Face. You know what I mean?
Well, my wife and I were on a trip recently, and whenever you drive, it seems like the most you'll get is country stations, right?
Mm, yeah.
And not a subtle bone in their fucking body. Like you are hit over the head. With
drinking a beer in the back of the truck.
Like this woman's, you know, this woman was like, I thought I'd never heard it before, but like you just knew exactly. Like the first verse was, you know, she's gonna quit her job, and the second verse is she doesn't need a man, and then you do the bridge, and then you do the third thing.
Right.
And there are people who get paid a lot of money to write those.
Yep.
And like I said, sometimes there's like I can appreciate, you know, the genius quote unquote, or the I don't know what the word is, the like there is some like heart and soul in it, and then sometimes it's like, oh, well, this is completely like, we know this will stick. Let's make it stick. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just think it's two different things. I think there's art, and then I think there's entertainment. And you can commercialize both. But I think people, you know, I think you can commercialize a song so that people will just eat it up, you know? And that's not quite the same as art, I guess. I don't know. I think there's just different worlds of it. But yeah, there are, I mean, man, I don't know. Because I tried to write a Rooms to Go jingle recently. That was like a big thing. We were like competing with just a couple other people to get this big Rooms to Go jingle. And it was like the hardest 2 days of writing of my life. And it's like the worst, most simple thing. But that's like sometimes the hardest, like.
Did you win?
No. Man, if I won, these would be Gucci sunglasses.
I don't know. It seems like they would pay cheap on that. Like, hey, you get to say you wrote a Rooms to Go jingle.
No, it was 80 grand.
Woof!
I know.
Who won?
I don't know. Honestly, we don't even know actually if we lost.
Can you hum a few bars of the Rooms to Go jingle?
Oh my god. The one we wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Live the life you love. Love the life you live. Live the life you love. Rooms to Go. That was pretty much it.
Right?
Yeah, and it took 2 days.
I'm not sure I love that one. I'll be honest with you. Real talk, not sure I love that one.
You should hear it with the track, though. I'll send it to you.
With the track, it sounds cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's not cool.
But okay, so once again, back to my Young Life, it was like, get on the radio, get an MTV, that's the path to success, right? So, like, what is the goal?
The goal?
What's the thing that you think will then translate to more money, which will then let you make more art, as it were, right? Like, if you, like, okay, let's do it this way. If Mr. Moneybags drives up in his limo and says, hey, kid, just record this, like, you know, this hit song or whatever, then you can go do whatever you want. Like, sure. You're not above that, are you? Or are you?
No, it depends. I don't ever want to compromise, like, my values. But I'm not above writing jingles. I'm not above playing weddings. You know, I mean, we all have to make a living. Right. And you have to climb the rungs of the ladder. So,
if I was a hipster in my late 20s or early 30s, I would totally have you play my wedding because that would be a hipster thing to do, right?
There was only one time, it was actually the worst, that people knew who I was. They were like, oh, Ren is playing your wedding. I was like, no, please don't. It's not.
But if we were already friends,
oh, yeah, then it'd be cool.
Right?
Yeah, then it'd be fun. No, I'm not above certain things because I think there's things that are like, yeah, it's work. It's not even like a money grab. It's just we all actually need to make a living, you know?
Yeah, I actually just thought of something that maybe this will give you hope. Maybe it won't. But you know the Yacht Rock guys, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I talked to one of the best interviews, I think, like one of the more fun ones I've done, was I talked to Nick from Yacht Rock. And he said, in the old days when we played a wedding, we were like treated like the fucking help, right?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
But now, now we're going to pay your wedding.
Yeah.
Show us the money. And we'll all have a great time.
Yeah.
So he's like, we're not. It's like, that, like, who cares? Like, who cares? The venue doesn't matter.
Yep.
But we know we're at a level now where, you know.
Right. You can, because now it's Yacht Rock is playing your wedding. It's not just like the wedding band. Like right now, it's just a wedding band.
Right. Well, and right. And I've run into people that were like, that would say that. That would like, oh, I saw you in Yacht Rock. They played my wedding. Right. Like, people love them.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting little.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a, you know, there's more than one way to do music.
But anyway, so what is, I guess, I mean, I hate to ask such a lame question, but like, no, so what is, so what is success for you?
I don't know, because I've been thinking a lot about this lately, because I've been asked a couple times, and I'm, is that thing still picking us
we're
up?
Totally, okay. We're totally.
Hey. I'm actually really happy right now, and so I don't believe that money makes you happier. It just gives you some options to do other things, but, I'm of the mindset that at any moment, the thing that I think I'm doing can be taken away. You know, I could, like, my hands could fall off, or someone could, like, punch me in the throat and I can't sing, right? Like, some extreme thing. But actually, like, that stuff, just stuff like that happens. And so it's like, I'm really focused on who I am outside of a career, because I think a career can change at any point. I have things I aspire towards, because it's good to always want to be better. So it's like, oh yeah, it'd be really cool to have, I mean, gosh, it'd be really cool to win a Grammy. It'd be so cool to be a pop star, right? It's like we all aspire for those things, but I don't put all my joy in that pursuit, because lately I've been made more aware that things can drastically change. And then, like, tomorrow, you know, oh, my husband could die. It would drastically change how I live my life. So I don't know what success is, because I'm even just being, like, I call it in the trenches, when you're kind of, you know, you're touring in your tiny truck and staying on friends' couches and stuff. It's like, I'm actually really happy being an artist that's in the trenches. And yeah, it would be cool to have more clout, I guess, but I don't know what success is yet. I'm still trying to define it, because I feel successful with my soul right now, kind of, you know, like, I don't know. That's such a tricky question. Cause I've had people try to figure out what I want so that they could use it as bait in a way. They're kind of like, what's like your big, they called it your big fuck yes. I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, like this would be cool. That would be cool. But I could tell they wanted something from me. And so they needed something to barter. Like, oh, I can give you your fuck yes if you give me this. Right. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm just trying to be careful about how I think about success, because I've been really depressed before, even during the lawsuit, where it's like, I worked so hard for this and it's all being taken away from me. And it was a tough lesson, because it felt like things were going good and I had to put a big halt on everything. So I don't know. I feel successful because I'm really enjoying my life right now, despite the fact that it's not, I mean, it's not glamorous. I've got so much dirt on my boots right now.
I noticed the
boot. I know, look, everyone.
I noticed the, but I have similar, because...
Right. I always leave room for, like, the garbage to show, you know? It's like...
But that's cool. All right, so yeah. So the part that we end with that I forgot to ask you on that mic, but by the way,
hey.
Hoping this works, and we're going to keep this rolling, right? Yeah. We're going to keep this rolling, is, it's called the Atlanta Favorites Quiz. I ask a few questions about your Atlanta favorites.
Oh my gosh.
You ready?
I'm going to know nothing. Okay, I'm ready.
No, it's your favorites.
My favorites?
Yeah, it's called the Atlanta Favorites Quiz. So you can't...
All right.
You
can't, so I can't lose?
You can't lose. Go-to order at the Waffle House.
My go-to order at the Waffle House? Oh, Lord. Well, I love eggs and hash browns, so I guess that.
Okay.
Okay.
What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta?
Favorites are so hard for me. It's like the most stressful question.
Here's how I break it down for people, usually, if they have trouble.
Breakfast? Oh, I know. Sun in My Belly. 100%. Okay. Oh, my God. I'm there all the time. I got called a regular, and I got a free coffee. And that was like a dream come true for
okay.
me. Okay. Sun in My Belly. Everyone should go.
Okay.
For
right
breakfast.
Right there on...
Don't even know the street.
That but, street.
You know, the one...
Right where Kirkwood ends and blah, blah, blah begins.
Yes, exactly.
Finish this sentence. Oh. I'm so nervous. This is awesome. I take Marta blank.
Nowhere.
Common answer. Second common answer, to the airport. Third most common answer is to Falcons games.
Okay. Again, I literally have only been on Marta once.
No wrong answers here.
Okay.
You should go busk on Marta sometime.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you don't want to busk on Marta. There'd be no money to be made there.
Yeah.
What is the best show you've seen in Atlanta?
The best show I have seen in Atlanta. Man, that's so hard because Paula and Elton were in Atlanta. Okay, honestly, I will say Music Midtown, Elton John, a couple years ago, but only because I was spoiled. I got backstage, so I got to like sit on the stage and watch.
Did
so
you get to meet special. Sir Elton?
Yes. That's a whole other story. I've actually stayed at his house in Venice.
Venice, California, or Venice?
Italy.
Venice.
Yeah, Venice.
And you, this is what we call burying the lead, ladies and gentlemen. We talked for an hour. She did not mention.
It's like the only thing I name drop because I think name dropping is so obnoxious.
Totally,
but honestly,
totally.
That was like the most random thing that's ever happened in my life. Like I woke up in Elton John's Venetian bedroom. What?
Can we go finish this out there now? Because this is actually we'll just do
it. We should just leave it at that. Yeah. Like, that's all I'm gonna tell y'all.
It's a little bit funny.
Oh, and I have Yellow Brick Road signed. Got a lot of Elton stories.
This feeling inside.
So good.
Okay. No hot knows. Take. The Moulin Rouge version of that song.
I like it.
Hate it.
I
fucking hate it.
You hate it?
Yes.
I'm trying to think. One thing in the movie, I like that montage. The love montage song when they're on top of the elephant. Man, I saw that in high school, though. So you're talking to like 17-year-old.
I don't even think he sings it right. Doesn't he get the words wrong?
He changes the melody on green or the blue. He does that instead of green or the blue.
But he also says it's how I can't sing, so why don't you do it? How wonderful.
How wonderful life is. Now you're in the world. What does he say?
I don't want to do it because it will be horrible, but he changes that melody and that pisses me off. Now you're in the world, not you're in the world.
How did you feel about Across the Universe, the movie?
I never saw that one. Ah. Would you believe? You're not going to fucking believe this, okay? I had that fucking idea.
What?
I said to my friend, I don't know how old I was, I said, what if you took a Beatles album, like the White Album, and just every scene was
should've
a song?
Jumped on
I'm
it,
telling
man.
You, now I was a young man, and I'm sure I'm not the only person, but when that movie came out, I was like, that was my freaking idea.
Yeah. It's funny because I...
Could you play Across the Universe? I would lose my mind if you could play this right now on that.
Bling, 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 bling.
You can't? No?
I'm one of those people that's got to like practice and
you can't
shit.
Just know it by ear?
No. Maybe on my flute or a keyboard. I'm terrible at string instruments. I'm so sorry. God. Matt's giving me a look of disgust.
Well, because like...
He's like, why did I invite this girl here?
Well, because we went hardcore Beatles and now I'm getting all... Like, listen.
You're getting pumped.
Listen, I'm someone that... All of my friends that are musicians that we have these conversations with, And we would sit around until 4 in the morning and play
records.
And they
would just be like, oh, and they play it
for I'm saying that I was the only one that didn't know how to play anything. Like, so I'm just like, for some reason, I'm just someone that didn't. But like, I don't have these conversations with regular people. It's usually musicians that like, hey, let's go deep dive this album, this time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But now, just I don't know, music is like, you know what I mean? Like, that's why musicians are the best guests, I feel like, because like, you can play a song and it's fun.
Oh, not this girl. I'm so sorry.
So you don't know Across the Universe. What would be a good one? Can we do any Beatles song since you're here? I mean, can I just... Even on the guitar? If you can't, it's fine. You're really going to bum me out.
I'm going to bum you out. If I had, like, a keyboard, I could do, like, Hold Your Hand.
But why? I feel like it would be easy on guitar, no?
I'm quite bad at string instruments. That's why I don't... I mean...
So you're someone who plays the ukulele sort of for a living... And you're lousy at string instruments.
Yeah, I don't play that for a living. I use it to, like, write songs, but I really prefer keys.
Right, and when you're writing a jingle for Rooms to Go.
Oh, I didn't use even the ukulele, no. What?
Okay. The final question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Ooh, Sam Birchfield, what my husband. Oh.
Lame.
No, of course I will.
Yeah, he's good. Or, golly, there's a lot of interesting people. You know who would be actually really fun? I only know musicians, so I apologize. Oh, actually, my friend Jordana Dale. She's a great photographer.
Okay.
Yeah, she does a lot in Atlanta. Terminus Horns are super fun. It's three guys that are a horn section. That they're playing with the Floozies right now. They're on tour with the Floozies. Kevin Leon, he's a great drummer. He's on tour right now with St. Paul and the Broken Bones. He's an interesting guy. I don't know. There's a lot of...
How often are you on tour? How many weeks a year are you gone?
Honestly, I'm just starting to pick up touring again. Because, again, lawsuit, couldn't tour. So, but I just got a new agent. So, I don't know. Last year was crazy. I was not home that much. And we did that, like, random trip to Bali that I had to cancel our interview the first time for that. I don't know. I'm not, like, a hardcore...
Did you go meet the Maharaji, whatever it is?
I was just, like, hanging out, you know, at Paul McCartney's house in Bali.
Right.
No. No, it was for a...
Do you know any George songs?
I mean, I know these songs. I just can't play them. I know that you're so sad at me right now. I just see you being sad at me. This is horrible.
I'm very sad at you.
I know.
George songs just, like, I think make me cry more than anybody can.
Yeah. I mean, was it My just... Sweet Lord? That's such a good song.
Speaking of, like, songs that, like, stole other songs. He was one of the first ones to get sued.
Yeah, what was it? That was over that song, right? Or no?
So his song is My Sweet Lord, right?
Yeah.
I really wanna know you.
Yeah.
Which is the same as He's so fine. He really is gonna please you. He's really gonna.
Yeah.
But his is like so much more like
so much better.
Well, clearly he liked it, right?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I bet there have been some interesting lawsuits.
Okay, where were we?
We were just... You were being disappointed.
You don't know any George songs on ukulele or guitar. You don't know any Paul songs. And
no, yeah. I literally only know my songs.
But then there was something else I just asked you, and I can't remember what it was.
Bali. Touring. How long am I on the road?
Yeah. Are you going on the road much in 2019?
Yeah, probably. I'll probably be on the road quite a bit.
Hittthepansy.com?
Yep. February, I'll start touring a bit. A little bit.
Patreon.com/PipThePansy.
You got it. I had to pick a name that no one else had, so.
All right. Good talk, dude.
Pip the Pansy. Hey, thanks for having me.
Peace out.
Bye, world.
Wasn't that great? I told you were going to like that lady. I see big, big things.